All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
F-H-Town! Hey, how we doing? It's a Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. That means we go back, way back for a way back Wednesday. We pulled it out of our way back, and we've got a topic.
Oh, really? I can't wait to hear it. I wonder what it is that you guys chose.
I gave you suggestions. Let's get to the bottom of it then, Laminack, if that's the way you want to start the show. You want to start it with a little bit of an edge?
Let's just go
that you got at your barbershop, but it'll be here, okay? Because here it is. We kicked around topics.
Yeah, and you guys
ended up... I gave you suggestions. Nothing was decided upon until Nick's list was already submitted.
This is kind of Barry's baby, and he made a suggestion, and I wanted to honor it. Barry's my boy, so I sent you guys my list. I thought you guys wanted to do songs about being disappointed. I thought that was the agreement, right?
Jesus. No.
That wasn't?
No.
That's how I remember it.
You guys said you didn't like my idea.
No,
Joel wanted to do songs about 9/11 and just kill the whole mood for 3 hours.
I killed that idea, the 9/11 idea.
I never said I wanted to do it. I threw it out as a suggestion, amongst other things, like highs and lows because of the Texans. I threw out lots of different suggestions. And you know what?
No one said anything
on the text message, and the next thing you know, bing! Well, new email from Nick. Here's your list.
I'm just glad that you guys wised up and went with what I suggested, because each and every week I, you know, have to come through in the clutch on a Tuesday, as I did once again.
Well, at least one segment a week. We're making progress.
And okay. We both know that when you get an email, it doesn't sound like bing. It doesn't sound like that, bro.
I don't care.
Sounds like you've got mail. That's what it sounds like.
I mean, if you're still back stuck in that 80s
telegram,
Mary Met Sally
telegram
thing.
Here, telegram. That's Joel's email. We got a wire here for Joseph Blank. You've got a wire here.
What are you watching 1920s Yankee games or something? You got some guy trying to sell a program?
He's like, guys, I found a new topic for Way Back Wednesday. Stop. It's going to be...
Yeah, I cheated my ass off, but I
Joel's
got the,
like,
I got the list.
I faxed you my list.
No, carrier pigeon because of the rain. The pigeon, I had the pigeon loaded up and it couldn't fly in the rain.
Every
so we
Wednesday
called
morning,
that
Joel's
off.
Like, this is going to be a badass list. Go!
That was actually a really good bird. That was actually
a
really good
effect.
One. Yeah.
That's good times. Yeah, so the it's disappointment. Songs about being let down or disappointed.
Frustrated, yeah. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. You threw that in there, too?
No, don't worry about me, champ.
No, you do your thing, because it's not going to be nearly as bad as Nicholas's whack-ass list.
My list is fantastic.
No, we're going to get to it when the songs come, but it's awful. It's really awful. Not the song choices, the fact that you're so off-topic. And we'll get to that, though, I promise. So, anything eventful happened with you guys last night? Besides
I just looked at his list.
It's awful. Absolutely awful.
Here's the thing. How the Astros couldn't get two more touchdowns, just absolutely befuddling. I turned that on going, well, you know what? At least I'll have something to watch tonight, and it's not like flipping channels. I'm looking forward to watching the Astros. There's no way Miley's going to do what he did the last time out. Well, at least he got an out before he completely crapped the bed all over the place and gave up another 7 spot.
I asked you yesterday before the game.
How good the bullpen was going to
look?
No. Oh.
What did I say? I said, if he goes out and craps the bed again, are you going to panic like you have on that bullpen? Are you panicking on Wade Miley? He's gone 2 games, 1 out, and how many runs? 12?
Oh, I'm concerned.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, they're like, well, we're going to have to figure out our 3-man rotation in the playoffs.
Yeah,
now.
That's exactly what
There's
it is.
There's no way that they add Miley if he keeps this up.
Because,
there's just no way you can trust
him. Because the bottom line is, it's now time to have come-to-Jesus moments with a lot of your pitching staff. Are you hurt, or do you feel like it's something... You know, with your fundamentals and your mechanics, because one way or another, you got to tell us because we don't know what the hell's going on.
Here's the thing: first of all, they scored 7 runs again. The Astros did. That's a lot of runs in baseball. I think we've gotten, you know, complacent. I jokingly tweeted out that Astros fans are going to be like, why is the offense so bad if they only score 5 runs? 5 runs is a lot in baseball. So everybody needs to keep that in mind. 7 runs was still a lot. Your pitching staff was awful, and a lot of it was September call-ups that were awful, so I'm not too concerned about that.
You think Devo's a September call-up?
No, but, I mean, Biagini's not a guy I don't think you're counting on. Snead obviously isn't. Framber Valdez isn't a guy. I mean, the only two in that lineup that I think you were really concerned with was Miley and Devinsky, but I don't think that they're counting on Devinsky anymore, to be honest with you.
I think
Devinsky's at the back end of that bullpen. I mean, why else would he be pitching in a game like this? You're down 17 and you're
and
rolling,
you know,
Devinsky out there. That means you don't trust Devinsky.
And today is the bullpen day.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If Devinsky was really on his game, you were going to save him for a day. You knew you were going to need
him. So they don't trust Devinsky. That's why he pitches in a game that ends in 21-7. So going back, here's what I think will happen, and I'm probably not the only one that thought this or said this or thinks this, but this morning I was thinking about Wade Miley. Don't be surprised if they don't put this man on the IL for 10 days. And it's not even because he's injured. It's probably just because he's either his arm is tired and he needs to rest or something's going on. But I don't think that he'll necessarily be injured, but I bet you, because he got to get it in. It's 10 days. They could do it retroactive, but I think that they'll send him out. They'll probably in the next day or so put him on the IL for 10 days and get him some rest.
He got to get his head right, too, because look, that's a lot to take from a mental perspective when you've been rolling along for the last year and a half, 2 years, the way you've been rolling. And, you know, people forget this guy's career was basically over about two and a half years ago, and he found the cutter. Since he found the cutter, he has been a totally different pitcher. He has been just very, very effective. And for this entire season, Astros fans have been giddy at a $5 million deal, how effective he's been. But after two straight starts where you've gotten one out and given up 14 runs, that's something that is going to rattle around in your head a little bit.
Yeah.
And as much as he's a great teammate, he's a great clubhouse guy, we all know he sits on the bench and comes back after he gets done pitching to be with his squad. It's a Janet Jackson situation right now. It's what have you done for me lately? And there is a lot to be concerned about simply because you take all that and then you start thinking about, well, we were just going to give Colin McHugh another 10 days off. Yeah. That's been like 20, 25. We don't know what the deal is with Brad Peacock. We don't know if you can trust Josh James as much as his fastball's back, but is his consistency? We don't know that. There's so many questions about so many pitchers. We don't know if Osuna's figured it out. We don't know if Presley's going to be healthy. So the thing is that it all steamrolls into, this isn't just about Wade Miley anymore. It's about getting pitchers that you, like you said, that you can trust when you need it the most.
Well, both of those will be shortened. Now, you might be in a little bit of trouble because your rotation, usually you'd shorten to 4 with Miley, but he's looked so bad the last 2 days. I'm not suggesting he can't turn it around.
Right.
I think Wade Miley can, and he'll figure it out. One thing to look for, though, is if they put him on the IL on the 12th or 13th, that means he could skip two starts. He's scheduled to pitch on the 15th and the 21st. So tomorrow, if they put him on the IL, that's 10 days. He would be eligible to come off on the 22nd. If he pitched on the 24th, because the 23rd is an off day, he could get two more starts in before the playoffs. So then you could get that rest, get two more starts in to see where his head's at, get him right, and then figure out what you're going to do for the playoffs. So that's what I predict might happen. Now, none of that may happen. They just may run him out there, and he's like, no, I'm fine. I'll work through it.
Well, because the schedule kind of loosens up, too, with
His last two starts would be Seattle and Los Angeles.
Yeah, so maybe he can,
yeah,
on lesser opponents, get right, too.
Right. But that's what I could see happening. I'm not saying it will, but if I was the Astros, I might consider something like that. But yeah, I mean, you're right. But remember now, we've been saying this, that everything is going to be shortened in the playoffs, the rotation, the bullpen. So some of these guys that you don't, you're like Devinsky, he's not going to be a real factor in the playoffs. If there's a 21-7 game,
but now Joe Smith
opening round,
if you're saying that, then now Joe Smith is. We kind of bantered back and forth about him. I don't think he's going to get long stints, but there's a guy that now, instead of being we might consider him to a guy that we're probably going to have to count on to be a part of that bullpen.
Yeah.
Come postseason.
Well, they got some work to do. Brent Strom has his work cut out.
I was going to say, for as much as Brent Strom gets a lot of credit about spin rate and all the different things that he's been able to do for all the different pitches, it's now time to get in the video room and really start breaking down, is Miley tipping his pitches or does he have an arm issue?
That was the other thing, is he tipping pitches? But it's weird that two different teams would figure that out within the span of two starts unless they're sharing information or what have you. I don't know. But
we know that the way teams are able to pick up signs and things like that, that there's a lot of people looking for stuff. We know we saw what happened with Yu Darvish in the playoffs a couple years ago. So for whatever the reason, I would almost hope it's tipping pitches because then you've got things that you can fix and you know what you're fixing. As opposed to, if he's not going to be honest with you if he's got an arm problem, that's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And if it's not physical, then figure out the mental and or the mechanical and make sure you get it right because time is running out.
Yeah, but the good news is you still do have time. I mean, you still have, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 starts for guys like Miley, and you've got plenty of outings left for that bullpen for guys to figure it out. And again, remember, these guys, I'm guessing, a lot of these guys are tired, so they're going to need some of this rest. So maybe that's part of the plan going forward is to get some of these guys rest. And that bullpen's been taxed all year, so that factors into it for sure. Hey, guys, mybookie.ag is here for you because football season is here, and that means it's time to bet on teams and make some money. And you do that with MyBookie. You bet, you win. Most importantly, you get paid at MyBookie.ag. That's why I like them, man. A lot of these places don't pay you right away. Don't worry about that with MyBookie. They're going to pay you. I've had a listener text the show, I think it was last week or the week before, and they said, dude, I had $1,000 in my account. A lot of places, it's hard to get $1,000 out of them. Not with MyBookie. He said, I got my money out, no problem. And that's super important because where you bet is as important as who you bet on. And MyBookie has odds on every game and more prop bets than any other sports book out there. Absolutely nobody will pay you faster and gives you more options. You get your cash when you want it, and you get the bets that you want as well. Did you know this? Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? Yeah, absolutely. You can parlay stuff. It's something that starts off as a small wager. You parlay a few things, and that can become a much bigger score for you. All that available and more at MyBookie. Don't bet with some no-name sports book nobody's ever heard of, and you're like, oh, hope I get my money back. No, not with MyBookie, not with MyBookie.ag. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie. And when you sign up right now, use promo code radio, and they will double your first deposit up to $1,000. That's free money. Up to $1,000 to do what you wish with at MyBookie. Go do it right now. Sign up at MyBookie.ag, promo code radio, because you play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Who's hour number one?
Barry Laminack.
Why didn't you take hour number one? You got the list in first.
Because I knew he was going to crap all over my list.
He's delaying the inevitable.
So I had to put Barry's in hour one. What's this disaster?
This is Nine Inch Nails doing a cover of Johnny Cash's Hurt. I don't know what version you got, but Nine Inch Nails cover of Hurt, very good. Very good. I will admit that Radiohead Let Down was pretty awful.
That was a bad song.
But you know what? Pretty awful. Based on the effort and thought you put into this, overall, by the end of it, you'll find out, you'll get what you put into it, and it'll be a successful list for you.
I don't know what you were saying.
You spent five seconds on your list.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you get out what you put
exactly
in.
Exactly right.
And I was like, uh-oh, it's 12:53. I better do a list. Ding, let me 12:54.
Let me done. Play Barry's first song because Joel didn't hear.
Take that. What? Take that.
Everybody's falling asleep right now.
Love some Radiohead.
There's a lot of people that do.
That didn't sound right.
Wow, double wow. It's
back-to-back days. Barry's been just...
Man, he's rolling. When all else fails, we know where Barry can go.
Towards himself there, but...
Wow.
I apologize. Lord, I apologize.
Man.
I'm gonna do some... what's his name? Get it done. Lord, I apologize.
The cable guy.
Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy.
Man.
I didn't...
Picking up where you left off. Are you, Brownsville?
So...
Boy. Last segment.
It was a lot of
people liked it. Man, he got me on that one. You know how I get him with the hammer? He got me because he pulled Brownsville out quick.
There were three or four times yesterday where I was like, I'm definitely getting a letter at least for this today. There was several times when I felt like, well, I might get suspended or something.
Like when you accuse somebody of eating.
No, we don't need to rehash it. It's on the podcast, okay? You don't need to.
Actually, it's
they
not.
They can go back and list. Did we take it out? I hope so. God, I hope so.
Is it really? I'm trying to get rid of you, bro. I left that thing in there.
I thought you said you were boys.
Yeah,
so you had to protect your boys.
Yeah, well, being my boy, I just like to get my boys fired.
I did forget that the podcast is slightly different, so it didn't go over the air. But it might have made the podcast.
Oh yeah,
I didn't tell the interns.
That's my bad.
What about what you said, Shacky?
I got corrected. Johnny Cash covered "Hurt." Nine Inch Nails wrote it. I had it backwards, but the same thing. Good.
You
song.
Like it backwards? You want to get into what he said?
What did he say?
I didn't say anything.
Little Shaq Griffin.
Oh
what are
yeah,
you talking about
yeah that too. So if you go listen, it was an awful, awful day and pretty awesome. All in.
Everybody kept tweeting after the show.
If you like a
great last hour.
If you like a politically correct radio show, yesterday was your day on The Usual Suspects for sure. But we've moved on. Now, after the show yesterday, I had to go to the improv and do my workshop.
Oh, your Tuesday
and
then, night deal, yeah.
Yeah, so I normally stop and I go eat. A lot of times I've been going to Big City Wings and eating there and doing some writing and stuff. And so I was like, I need to switch it up. I've been doing that like 6-7 weeks in a row. I'm going to go somewhere else. So there's a Chick-fil-A right there by the improv. And I was like, I'll do that. I'll go sit at the Chick-fil-A, do some writing because I can watch my calories and eat well. And I'm sitting there and the police show up and they're doing an appearance at the Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
And they've brought a helicopter with them. And the helicopter, it's a little small helicopter. It's on a trailer. And they pull in. And I'm not kidding you. So they wanted to just park it in front of the building across several parking spots. It took them 45 minutes to back this helicopter up into the right. I was like, it would have been faster if they would have just taken off and landed as opposed to just leaving this helicopter on the trailer. So we're sitting there. And I'm just minding my own business. I'm just writing. I took a picture real quick, whatever. And this dude walks up to the window and he's looking at it. And there's this somebody in the table next to me. And he's staring at this helicopter. And he's staring at it for a long time. And he looks at the table next to him. He goes, "Hey, man, is that a helicopter?" What? What? No, bro. It's a hot air balloon.
It's a drone,
you
bro.
Dumbass. Yeah. What are you talking about? Is that a helicopter? I've never in my life seen something so stupid. Are you serious? Look, if you don't know what to say, just be like, "Wow, that's a really cool looking helicopter," or something. But he literally was like, "Hey, is that a helicopter?" I was like, "Wow, that's the dumbest thing."
You didn't
thing.
Say anything. You just let that go.
I tweeted it out. I took a picture of the helicopter and said, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard." And then the other thing I just wanted to comment, and I know I've bitched about this a lot, but it happened again last night. I was sitting there eating. And there was the table next to me, kind of off to the side, was two moms, I guess. Well, maybe it was a mom and the grandma and a kid. And they had their iPad out. And rather than just sitting there with the three of them talking, mm-hmm. they put a movie on for the kid to watch, put it on speaker, and play it as loud as it can go.
Was that what that tweet was about?
And I was like, I hope you drop it in the toilet or in the tub or in the parking lot and it cracks the screen. I hope that you run it over with a car. I hope so many bad things happen to that iPad. Like, what is the purpose of people using their speakerphone? Whether it's listening to something on their phone. Like, I've seen people and this has happened at baseball games. And I'm not going to mention any names, Mark Berman, but I've seen people who will watch movies and TV shows.
God, you just called out Scoop.
And they have their speakerphone on. And I'm like, how rude are you that you can't put in an earphone and listen to the movie or the show or watch the clip or, for that matter, talk on the phone? I really feel like this should be like, you can't text and drive. I would rather people text and drive and it be illegal to use a speaker in public.
I'm with you because my wife watches these Real Housewife shows, right? And the other one, where they do the real estate in New York and LA. And every time they have a phone conversation, they're doing it on speaker. But they have to so that you get the conversation for television. But even that, it annoys me. And I always walk in the room and go, why the hell are they on speakerphone in the middle of a crowded restaurant or whatever? And she's like, well, because they got to get the whole conversation for TV. If that, even that annoys me. But then when you're just walking through a restaurant or something like
you're
that.
You're on the bus. It doesn't matter. The bus, a restaurant, the press box.
I hate when people are driving
anywhere.
Too. They're driving and they have their phone like out in the just in their, but it's between the steering wheel and their mouth, and they're like yelling at it while they're driving.
Yeah, but Bluetooth, you can't hear
you know
that.
What Bluetooth is?
Yeah, but Joel, you can't hear that. That's they're in their car. I don't
care. It still annoys me.
Why?
Because you have Bluetooth.
Okay, well, let them wreck and die. That's their thing.
They might wreck into me.
No, you're good. You got
you
10
and your
and two.
Freaking driver safety.
Usually, Mark Berman has his earbuds. I guess he forgot it that day.
No,
he's got a Walkman.
But I'm saying, like, I don't understand the rudeness. The how are you not conscious of everyone else around you and at least polite enough to be like, I'm sorry, maybe someone doesn't want to hear the Baby Shark song at full blast or whatever this dumbass movie was this kid was watching. I don't care about that. I'm sitting there literally.
Was it JoJo?
My laptop is up. No. It wasn't JoJo. My laptop is up and I'm obviously writing. I'm working on something. So I'm obviously trying to concentrate.
They're just playing a movie. Oh, we know that. And that's a deal with you. We know.
Yeah, they're just playing a movie. I'm like, this is where we're at now in society. We can't just respect each other enough. And then Chris Householder's like, bro, there's this person I work with who every day they just get on their cell phone on speakerphone in a four-person cube. See, now me and that person would fight at the office. Because you know me, I would say something. I'd be like, hey, why don't you either go outside or put in some headphones, but no one wants to hear your conversation. And I have decided, fellas, today, I have decided that from now on, in public, if someone's on their speakerphone or watching something without, I'm saying something. In the past, I just give them a dirty look.
Can you let Nick and I know so we can film
it? I'm saying something from now on. I've thought about filming it.
We need to film it.
I've thought about recording it.
Because then we have proof before you get arrested that
before I die,
you were provoked.
Or before I get shot.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say, hey, look, you're being rude right now. Why don't you put in some headphones because no one wants to hear
that.
The
days of worrying about being rude are completely gone.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest about that.
I don't know, but I feel like such an old man. Like, get off my lawn. But damn, I don't want to hear that.
We've gone to dinner as a family, and we have a rule as a family. When you're at dinner, there's no phones.
You know what I should do? Here's what I should do. Like, in the case of the Chick-fil-A, where the kid is watching a movie on the iPad and the parents don't care, I should have put porn on my laptop and just blasted it full.
Sure you should have.
Okay. In the middle of a Chick-fil-A? Oh, my God. Everybody be like, turn that down. I'd be like, no, he can turn his down first.
Someone behind the counter throwing a Bible at you, first of all.
Right?
Yep.
That'd be hilarious.
I think I'm
going to
do
that
next time. And then I'll record it and be like, why is everybody so upset? We're all watching movies with our speakers on, right?
That would be a great way to fix
it. That's what I'm going to do next time. Yeah,
but I'm telling you, like, we go to dinner as a family. No phones. And there's been places, restaurants we've gone to where there's multiple children and mom and dad, and they're all on a device. And all the different volume is like going across the table and everybody's doing, and no one's talking and no one's interacting. And it's like, so what are you doing?
I'm okay with the kids having iPads and stuff, though, because they won't shut the hell up otherwise.
Okay, well, then put in a headphone, though.
I feel the parents for giving the.
I don't mind that. Yeah. If you if
no,
you don't
the speaker
know how
part
parent,
I agree with. Yeah.
If you don't know how to parent effectively and your iPad has to do it for you, I get that. Just put in a headphone. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to hear whatever dumbass movie your kid is watching. Or whatever dumbass conversation you're having with whoever.
I hope Lisa's napping. Because then she's going to blame me. Because I have total control over my child. And she will listen. And there is no need for a device. Because
you're a good parent, Joel.
But...
Oh,
she tests Lisa. But that's just a mommy-daughter relationship.
At a certain point, Lisa gives her the phone.
Oh,
she gives in.
Yeah.
Because you know what? It stops the tantrum in Target.
I told you. These kids are loud and annoying.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to tell the parents, hey, man, you better give them your iPhone or something. I'm about to knock this kid out.
Oh, what? Nick's out here fighting kids. I like it.
Shut up, little kid.
Barry's going to get on you now. What? Are you saying you'd hit a kid, Nick?
Yeah, what would it take for you to hit a kid?
I would never
hit
a kid.
That. Coming up next, why Nick would hit a kid. Now, in segment number three.
What if a kid
right
came up and stabbed you in the face, Nick? Or would you hit a kid? Okay, there you have it. A half hour in the show.
Smell a new promo.
Still 2.5 to go. Lots to get to. If you want to chime in, and something tells me you do, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. All three of us make up the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The things you find out during commercial breaks on The Usual Suspects. Not only is this just a piss-poor song, but Nick Sciarra has basically admitted...
We just Rickrolled the whole city.
...that he absolutely loved this song and has jammed out to
it
for years.
I'll mess with this song. I'll listen to this song.
And he's physically attracted to the denim outfit he wore in the video.
Did not say that part.
You kind of did say you liked it.
Nope. Yeah.
The Tennessee tuxedo.
Did not say that.
Is it all denim? It must have been tailored.
Is it all denim?
What tuxedo? Remember. It is all denim. Or one part of the video he's wearing all... It looks denim. Or blue. One of the two.
Okay, well, that's two different things. Just
I know.
Blue it and looks, denim.
It's hard. They're moving. The camera's moving very quickly.
Oh.
Very.
Now, is it a Tennessee tuxedo?
Yes.
Or a Canadian tuxedo?
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah,
I think because, it's called a Tennessee tuxedo.
Because when they did the preseason game for the Packers and they all wanted to dress appropriately, Aaron Rodgers wore all denim out jacket and pants and said he was wearing a Canadian tuxedo.
Is it somebody I was wearing for one of my shows? I had on a denim... long sleeve shirt with jeans on. Somebody goes, "Oh, nice Tennessee tuxedo." I was like, "Oh,
it's interchangeable."
Tennessee tuxedo flows,
right?
But I don't. I also have heard the Canadian tuxedo.
Okay,
so either way, bad choice. But
yeah, so there's both. Like Urban Dictionary has both.
Yeah, it does.
I'm looking at it too. Yeah, Tennessee tuxedo is basically a tank top, sleeves optional.
Oh good
well,
Lord.
That don't sound good.
Well, way to go, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Canadian tuxedo, today it refers to any outfit consisting of a denim jacket with denim jeans.
Okay.
Denim wear, tops and bottoms, such as a jean jacket. And jeans. Yeah. I mean, it's...
But that's a jacket, not the shirt.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I digress. This fashion moment brought to you
by nobody.
By Forever 21 right. Before they go out of business.
Don't remind me. That's so sad.
By the Gap in more ways than one.
Right. You know, it's a good thing there's nothing going on with Antonio Brown.
God, yeah, another day, another Antonio
no
Brown.
No screws loose there, right?
Did y'all read the Instagram?
That was a disaster.
No.
Ooh, baby.
Boy, you got to read that
Instagram
post.
I put it on the
rundown
for you.
Well, was it the text that he sent?
It was that like
the
was
email.
A
it was the like email.
It was an email.
Oh,
Instagram?
So it was an email. Yeah, I didn't know if it was email or
between
text.
Between the trainer and him?
Yeah. You know, the worst part of that, the real crime was the spelling and grammar.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
That was the real crime in all this.
He needs to serve time for that damn grammar.
He does.
Or Nick, he should write a blog in Houston.
He should. He totally should. He's talking about old boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I think if you read it, bro, it's...
Oh, I read it.
Every other word is misspelled. That's what it felt like when I was reading. Every other word.
Oh, you
word.
Can't even go there. It's not just every misspelling. It's the grammar. It's the. It's what you guys were
Why
talking about.
Why do you
about,
put a space between the last word of the sentence and an exclamation mark? Who told him that was...
He doesn't know where to put his periods.
Oh.
No, he
easy
doesn't.
Easy now. Well,
yeah. I don't understand... I mean, that obviously is bad enough, but here's my big question, and you guys disagreed or said no, they probably knew, but do you think that this was disclosed to the Patriots before the deal was signed?
No, I think there's a lot of people that are happy as hell. Like, the Patriots thought they one-upped everybody, Antonio Brown thought he outsmarted everybody, and now that this hit, and I don't think that they had any clue.
Yeah, I was talking to Barry about that. I thought they would, but then when I was thinking about it, you're probably right. If Drew Rosenhaus is... If he's any good at his job, he's probably keeping that, withholding that information from the Patriots. I just figured maybe in the agent team discussions that possibly that they knew that this was a possibility of it coming out. Maybe they wanted to be transparent and say, hey, this might come out. There's nothing. There's no evidence. We still want Antonio Brown to be a Patriot. But I guess that would give the Patriots a lot more leverage in dealing, and he probably wouldn't have got the whatever the 10 or 15 million that he got guaranteed.
That's what I was going to say. The one thing is you're not going to give him any guaranteed money at all if this is on the table,
the
if you know
about
it.
That, yeah.
And then adding in a team option, you're not even going to add that option. You're going to be like, nope, you're on a one-year prove a deal. That's it. This is pending. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. But here was their statement. They said, we are aware of the civil lawsuit that was filed earlier today against Antonio Brown, as well as the response by Antonio's representatives. We take these allegations very seriously. Under no circumstances does this organization condone sexual violence or assault. The league has informed us they will be investigating. We will have no further comment while the investigation takes place. That sounds to me like a team that didn't know.
Completely.
Just on that statement alone. Now, maybe they were vague on purpose, but I don't think that they were fully aware of this. Because there was, I was watching somebody, and I forget who it was. I wish I could give them credit. But they were talking about the fact that in the past, once the Patriots have found out that there were, there was like a sexual misconduct or rape allegation or whatever, they have just cut players for that. That's a, they have set, organization-wide, they basically don't play around when it comes to this. This is part of the whole, we take this, these allegations very seriously. So it's going to be interesting to see how they react to the investigation, how big of a role Antonio Brown has with the team until this is figured out. I might, my initial thought too was, if they don't let him play, is it still guaranteed? Because remember, he had to have played by a specific day to get that money guaranteed. He still hasn't played yet. If you didn't let him play.
There's a lot of technicalities. Now, supposedly he's practicing today regardless.
Okay.
The woman involved in this whole thing is meeting with the NFL or scheduled to meet with the NFL in the coming days.
After, well, she, the report I saw said that he's, she's not going to, she's willing to speak with the NFL, but she's not willing to speak to the NFL until after her marriage. After a wedding.
She's getting married, and so she said there are schedule conflicts, but she did agree to meet with the NFL.
Correct.
I don't know if they've pegged down a date yet. So depending on what the date may be, and maybe her people are saying, hey, drag this thing out, because the longer you drag it out, if the NFL who acts on this, because they have the ability to put you on the suspended list while things are being sorted out, too. And so there's a real question of whether the league's going to get involved to the point of saying, you won't play till this is resolved. Or if they're going to let him practice and play and then get it to the point where after they talk to her, if they feel like something's there, then they might act on it. But we don't know what's going on in a lot of different ways. We just know this is another situation with Antonio Brown. And essentially, when does it all end?
I wonder if the fact that it's a civil lawsuit, not a criminal
lawsuit,
does anything for leverage. And it does make me wonder whether or not Drew did tell the Patriots. And I'm not necessarily saying that he did. But it does make me wonder how does that impact leverage, considering we know that Antonio Brown is not going to jail.
Yeah, my big question was, and I don't know the answer, which is why I have it, but was there ever any criminal case opened? Or was this ever even considered in criminal court?
If there wasn't, why not? Because from what she's describing, it sounds like there was enough that if that was a huge issue, that it should have been reported.
I'm not suggesting that it's, you know, that she's not telling the truth or that he didn't do it or did do it. But what I'm saying is if this were the case, now maybe it's statute of limitations. Maybe she just decided not to come forward until now and the statute of limitations is up. I don't know that either.
Well, it was 14, so wasn't it like 8 years or something like that?
Yeah, it'd be 5 years ago.
No, I'm saying like what is the statute of limitations?
On sexual assault? So I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying like it wasn't that long ago is my point. It was true. Yeah, so... But at the end of the day, I mean, it's a civil case, so I don't know how that affects it anyway. But I do think it's so interesting.
It's state by state, so I think you would have to figure out what state this occurred in and what the statute of limitations is. Was it Florida where it occurred?
Once in his Florida house and once in his Pittsburgh home. There was three incidents. One, I think the third incident was in a hotel. One was in my Pittsburgh home. One was in a Florida home. And one was in a hotel. And the second incident, he essentially admitted to. He didn't admit that he did it by force, but the whole relieving himself on her back part.
Yep, finishing.
He admitted to that in the email.
So Florida is 10 years. What was the other one you said?
It was Pittsburgh, Florida, and I think the third one was in the hotel.
That's Pennsylvania, Barry.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm here for you.
I don't know what I would do without you. Pennsylvania, 11 to 20 years.
So it was...
They're well within that. So then that becomes the next question is, why wasn't this ever pursued criminally?
That's my biggest question, was if it is as serious as she is alleging, then why has it never been something that's been brought up to the authorities? And that starts to lend you to some of the social justice police officers out there who are getting to the bottom of it saying, well, she let too much time pass. This is just about money.
Mm.
And they're trying to side with him in the way that he wrote out whatever email that got public.
Yeah, I think the best course of action when something like this happens is to not have any kind of judgment. Right. I mean, at some point, as a society, as just people in general, we really have to learn our lesson to not jump to conclusions on either side. So when you're saying this is just about money, you don't know that.
No, but there's a lot of people I'm saying on social media that have been suggesting that.
That's who I'm talking to. And I'm saying if you're one of those people that have tweeted me and said this is just about money, you don't know that. Maybe there were some things that she wouldn't have wanted opened up in a criminal case that or things that would have had to come forward. Or you don't know the circumstances beyond it, and you don't know that what she's saying is true or not. I always try to err on the side of believing people who say they're a victim of sexual assault, but you still have to see this play out in court first.
We've had this conversation how many times in the last month where we say, look, it may not be that you're going to get the answers when you want them, but the truth's going to come out at some point. It's just maybe not as fast as you would like, but as long as the truth does come out and they get to the bottom of it, then that's what you want, because you want justice to be served if he did it, and if she's in it for the wrong reasons and doing it for the wrong reasons, then you want that truth to come out as well, too, just so that you don't falsely incriminate somebody. But based on what's going on already, the bigger thing is, in terms of from an Antonio Brown perspective, is how much more is everybody going
to
take?
Yeah, the best course of action for him is to stay away from a keyboard. And that's what Drew Rosenhaus needs to do. Just every time he sees a keyboard in Antonio Brown's hand, he needs to just snatch that thing away. iPhone, keyboard, doesn't matter.
Or just get hooked on phonics.
Well, both.
I mean, God.
I mean, take a hiatus from the keyboard while you get hooked on phonics.
Yeah.
He needs to ask Facebook and Twitter to block him.
I know for a fact he sees those squiggly red lines when he typed that whole thing. I know for a fact how technology works. There were a lot of squiggly red lines. He's like, nope, don't need you. Don't need you. I know where to put an exclamation mark. 10 spaces past the last word. I don't need none of y'all.
Here's the other thing, too. Drew Rosenhaus isn't going to say too much because he knows it's still going to be a big payday for him at the end of the day, wherever he goes, because he gets whatever, 5, 8% of however big the deal is for Antonio Brown. And if it's a one-year deal, he's going to get another big deal next year. So it's a, you know, that's one of those deals that he's not going to be too stern with the way he tries to correct Antonio Brown. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Other things going on in the world of sports we can cover. We also got plenty to talk about, as always, with the Texans. Before we get to all that, I want to tell you, if you're out there watching sports this week, you want to get out of the house, you want a good place to go, but you don't want to be disappointed with the food, the beverage, the TVs, and what they can get on it in terms of sports for you. Well, there's only one place to go, and there's 5 locations across the Houston area. It's Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks has all the TV screens all over their locations. They have all the subscriptions to all of the conference packages and ESPNs and MLB and NBA. Everything that you need at all times is going to be right in front of you. You want soccer and baseball on 2 different screens and then college football on a 3rd? They got you covered. And they got you covered with made-from-scratch entrees and appetizers that are just absolutely delicious. 29-degree draft beers at every location. The temperature is right there above the bar. You know you're getting ice-cold refreshment every time you get a draft beer. And, of course, it's the beautiful Twin Peaks girls that are there to make sure that you're happy and satisfied as you are enjoying your stay at a Twin Peaks location. They say it, they mean it, and I mean it too, because if you're doing a fantasy football watch party or you're just wanting to watch some sports and get out of the house, there's only one place to go. It's Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Gotta be Twin Peaks.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Rolling through our number one three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking along for the ride, wherever you may be in the big city. On this Wednesday, way back Wednesday, Barry, hour number one, songs about, with the Texans theme in mind, disappointment, frustration.
anymore. I feel like Joel's covering himself. Does he have like a song about frustration in his list?
No, I'm just saying. Look, first of all, you don't even know what the theme is, and you already submitted a list. So I don't know why you're going back there.
I knew what the theme was.
And what are you conspiracizing for?
I'm not
there?
Conspiracizing anything. Why are you suggesting that
text
I am?
Line. He's distracted.
No, yeah, I just
you're
pulled
just
it
waiting,
up.
You're waiting.
Somebody else has been in there, though.
You
not me.
For Nick's list?
No. Oh, yeah, that too. I am waiting on Nick's list. We've got several bones to pick, but we'll get to that. When are you going? Hour number two or hour number three?
I'll do three.
Okay.
Because he wants to prolong it and hope you
No, it's
forget.
Just easier because I know my songs. I can find my songs easier than your songs. That's why.
Oh, it's is that it?
I can go hour two if you want. Doesn't bother me. I'm not
okay.
scared. I'm not scared.
I don't know about that. All right, so, boy, I hope that 3-1 prediction still comes through, by the way, for the A's. I mean, for the Astros and A's. Because I was thinking about that. I was counting on a good performance again last night, and then
I suggested Roark might be the game they lose.
He
but
didn't
I
look
didn't think
great
it would look like
night.
Yeah, and I didn't think they would look like that either. But they still managed to get to him, and I didn't think that would happen. But they should win the next two.
Tonight?
Yeah.
In an opener situation, using nothing but pen? You know that pen. I know you love it, so you're confident in it. But I'm just saying, I would bet on Verlander. I'm not so sure about tonight either, but I hope you're right.
I mean, they're rolling out who? Brett Anderson? He ain't a world beater.
No, you're true. That's absolutely right about that. Yeah. So, all right, we'll see how that goes tonight from an Astros perspective. We talked to Antonio Brown. Texans, we got to get to that at some point. I guess there's a new scapegoat in town that's on his way out of town.
Good. Bye.
But Colvin is gone.
See ya. I hope Sean Cheryl Henderson was riding with him. Has he been cut yet?
Haven't seen that.
Please?
Not on the same bus, sir.
I made a list of two players that I never wanted to see on the field again, and one of them is gone.
That's
I'm just
right,
waiting on the other one. I need the other one to be gone, and I'm happy.
You did actually.
Colvin and Henderson need to go.
Yeah, you put that
Colvin's
jinx
gone.
On.
I'm halfway there.
You fired Colvin. You have impacted his livelihood, sir.
No. Nope.
How do you feel
He's
about that?
He's still got his $8 million. Are you sad for him for getting $8 million and he don't
Not
have to
really,
work the rest
no.
of the year? Okay. Neither am I.
I mean,
he didn't even earn any of that $8 million. He's awful. He should have had to pay them $2 million.
When you look at the statistics around Colvin gave up all by himself 117 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers were staggering that every time that it was the guy he was guarding, that I think Breeze completed like either 8 out of 10 or something like that, but it was 117 yards, and the numbers were just ridiculous as everybody kept throwing them out there on social media and otherwise going, yeah, it was worse than you initially thought. So evidently, you know, Bill O'Brien either got his people reading Twitter to realize that, or they did actually watch some tape and go, yeah, it wasn't just Romeo's call on the last series. It was more so, too, what was going on all game long. They showed him when he got beat, either he, you know, tripped and fell at the end, or he was trying to grab, or it was just, he was not in the same zip code as anybody he was guarding.
No, and you need look no further than that. One of those plays towards the end where he's face down on the turf, pounding his fist into the grass because he just got burned again, and he knew it. He knew he played horrible. He knew. I think he knew when that play happened. He was like, "Well, I'm probably done. Bill O'B ain't gonna keep me around after this horrible last game." And thank goodness they didn't. So,
yeah, and there's a guy that in the past was upset when they weren't giving him enough. They weren't putting him on the roster. They didn't want him, you know, playing in the playoffs. He was like, this is going to be a new year for me. Well, the only way it's a new year is he got new money that's guaranteed. So, unfortunately for Texans fans, even though he's out of town, his money's not. He got $18 million in guarantees when he was signed as a free agent. He still has $7.5 million guaranteed this year as he walks away. And you know somebody else is going to give him a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll latch on somewhere. Somebody needs some depth at cornerback, and that's fine. Maybe the Dolphins, since they're trying to tank for the year, they'll add him. They'll be like, hey, how can we get worse? Oh, I know. We've already traded for one of the Texans' horrible offensive linemen. Let's get one of their horrible
defensive
backs. And then maybe when they cut Chantrell Henderson, we could get another terrible offensive lineman from them. Hell, why don't we just ship half the Texans to the Dolphins, and then everybody would be happy?
Well, no doubt about
garbage.
It, because then people would think, well, we're not going to have an easy time trading, but we'll have an easier time, and still maybe Miami wants to tank enough to get rid of some players that we can take a shot at. Mm. Here's the actual numbers. The Saints targeted Aaron Colvin 9 times Of those 9 times, the ball was caught 8 times for 117 yards and a touchdown. How you doing? God. Player of the week honors. He just missed it.
That's terrible.
Jeez, that's awful. And then you couple that with 6 sacks, 11 pressures that Deshaun Watson and the offense had to endure. You can see where the struggle bus was on both sides of the line.
Yep.
Here comes Jacksonville this weekend. At least Nick Foles is out.
Oh, look, what do you think? Here we go. They have Aaron Colvin's Madden rating. No. Madden is out of their damn mind.
He's in the 80s, isn't he?
75.
Well, I know that your Pro Football Focus had him as the, good, but the lowest rated corner after week one.
Wow, big surprise. Yeah. Apparently, Madden, somebody that's dyslexic put this in because he's obviously a 57. There's no way he's a 75. I'm sorry for whoever put that in backwards, but they obviously messed it up. 75.
Hopefully we didn't mess up hour number one because we got 2 hours still to go in the show, and hopefully you take us along wherever you're going to be on the go in the big city of Houston, Texas on this Wednesday. Way Back Wednesday, hour number two coming up right around the corner. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.